When a person truly repents and is forgiving, there's going to be sorrow of heart. Sorrow of heart. There's no possible way you can experience the love of God until you humble yourself before God and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for what I have done.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We're glad you've joined us for our study on the far-reaching blessings of forgiveness. Today, Roel will urge you to be a person of humility, proactively asking for grace from those you have offended, while at the same time extending mercy to those who have hurt you. Stay with us for assurance that Jesus will freely pardon all of your sin and guide you on the path of reconciliation with those who've wronged you. Let's listen as Roel Reese begins.
The title of the message is The Person Who Forgives. Let me read the text out of the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. Jesus is speaking the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching to the disciples. And he comes to that place where they're asking about prayer. So he gives them a model prayer. The real Lord's Prayer is in John 17. But here's the model prayer. Mary starts, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then in verse 14 and 15, he says, For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I think that every one of us at one time and maybe at the present time, we have something against someone with unforgiveness. Jesus not only became the example. Imagine the anger that the Pharisees, the scribes, and the Sadducees had against Jesus. God the Father sent him from all eternity to come to this world and to pay the ultimate price of death and for him to rise again from the dead on the third day and then go back to heaven and once again to return a second time. And when I thought about Jesus, when he was not only arrested, they took him, and even though they came to arrest him, he forgave them. When they beat him, he forgave them. And when they gave him his cross and they went up to Mount Calvary and they put the nails into his hands, his feet, he forgave them. When they lifted him up on that hole where the cross would go with two thieves as they put that cross in, you couldn't even recognize him as a human being. And then the two thieves on the side, one is, blaspheming against him. On the other side, one is saying, Lord, forgive me. When you come to Paris, remember me. And he said, today you'll be with me in Paris. Instant forgiveness. And it's really important that we see here that Jesus was asking his disciples and teaching them not only how to pray, but in the prayer, how are you going to forgive? How are you going to forgive? Let me ask you the question this morning. How are you going to forgive? Every one of us has come here this morning with something in our hearts. And remember, Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, know your hearts and search your hearts. If anyone should be angry, it should be Jesus. The way he was treated. The things that they did to him fully, completely. Many times we don't really realize that we've hurt people and that we have unforgiveness for them. And the best thing that Jesus says, if you want to be forgiven, you go and make things right with that person or persons. You don't want to wait until you die. You don't want people to come to you and ask you to forgive them. And you say, I'm not going to forgive you. You deserve what you had getting. There's nothing like having peace in your life. Nothing like it. When a person truly repents and is forgiving, there's going to be sorrow of heart. Sorrow of heart. There's no possible way you can experience the love of God until you humble yourself before God and say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for what I have done. Here, literally, Jesus says to the disciples that if you do not forgive, then I cannot forgive you. I cannot forgive you. That's kind of a heavy thing that we hear. Listen to the theological dictionary, the definition. There are seven words in Scripture that denote the idea of forgiveness, three in the Hebrew and three in the Greek. The first one is the word to cover, to cover. Second one is the word to bear, to take away. So the word to cover, remember in the Old Testament, if you sin against God, you take a lamb, a goat, or a turtle dove. They killed it. They sprinkled the blood as a type of forgiveness for your sins. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he became the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. John said, his cousin, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And through that came forgiveness of sins. And when God brings forgiveness for our sins, then we also, by example, need to forgive other people. We need to forgive other people. If we don't, how can we sleep for ourselves? I've been there. And I could not sleep. And sometimes our husbands and wives, they treat each other so bad and there's no forgiveness. Then when your children come to church or they go to Sunday school, wherever they go, and they see that at home, they see that you're not practicing what you preach. We have to practice what we preach all the time. I know it's hard. It's hard for me. And I think that we cannot be hypocrites in the things that we say and do. If it's in my heart, then my heart has become hardened through life, through people talking about me and saying things about my family. Surely I want to defend my family. And I tell you the truth, many times I feel, you know what? They're going to pay with their lives. That's my ugly heart. But if you call yourself a Christian and you become a brand new man in Christ Jesus, all things are passed away. All things have become brand new. He forgave me. Why should I not forgive them? Forgive them even for what they've done to me. Remember, there's a day of judgment coming where God is going to judge. And when God judges, those people are going to receive deserved judgment. Unless you're a Christian. The Bible says that when you came to Christ, all your sins have gone away. It's like the whiter than snow. As far to the east, as far to the west. Buried in the deepest part of the ocean. And God says, I never, never remember him again. Ever again. Ephesians chapter 4, 32, Paul says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. We need to be tenderhearted. Very hard for many men to be tender-hearted because we've been so hardcore all of our lives. But when God gets a hold of your life, and like Paul, he knocks you down, you know that it's a true conversion. All things have become brand new. We don't go back to our old life. We have a new life now. We can look at my age, I can look back so many stupid things that I did. But looking forward, there's very little I can see. Time is short. I want to make sure that I've done everything to make things right with everyone. Colossians 2:13 says, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you. Listen. Forgiven you all trespasses. That's a willful act of sin. You planned it and you did it. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another person, even as Christ forgave you, so you forgive them. Let God deal with them. Make sure your heart is right before the Lord. Make sure that you're humble before the Lord, before He humbles you. Before He humbles you. The most common word in the New Testament for forgiveness, it covers the idea of sending away or letting go. Sending away that anger when I don't forgive. And then the noun is used 15 times in the New Testament. The verb, it says, it's the same meaning used 40 times in the New Testament. 40 times. I guess the Lord wanted us to really learn that lesson. Because what's the use of praying? What's the use of pretending you're a Christian? What's the use of going to church? The only thing that I see that is good about coming to church is that we believe that the Holy Spirit will convict you as He convicts me. And that's cool. Because He can convict you either if you come here or not. He can convict you in your home. And if there's conviction, are you going to respond to conviction or are you going to be self-willed? Are you going to be a macho man? You know what? Jesus was not a macho man, but Jesus was a real man. 100% man, 100% God. And what did He do? He humbled Himself.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. We'd like to take a moment and remind you that we are here to support you in your spiritual journey, and we invite you to visit us at somebodylovesyou.com for a wealth of resources. You can also download our free app to infuse God's Word into your daily life with live-streamed Bible teaching and digital studies. Now, back to more with Raul Reese.
You don't think deep down in his heart when the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees gave him a bad time and were accusing him? And not only accusing him, but thinking evil of him. And yet all the way 33 years, what did he do? He loved them. He forgave them. He gave them the opportunity. And even to the end, remember Peter denied the Lord three times. And what happened? Jesus forgave him. Not Judas. Judas betrayed the Lord with a kiss. 30 pieces of silver. And when he came, he thought that he could get rid of his guilt by throwing down the coins. And it led him to going out and hanging himself and the rope breaking and slashing down and just smashing on the rocks. You don't want to be a Judas. You want to be a Peter. Peter wept and repented. And that's why Jesus finds him where? In the book of Acts, when he becomes not only the one that stands up and gives a testimony, but he gives interpretation to what happened in chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came upon the church. Isn't that cool? You can be Peter today. I don't care what you've done. Let me give you 10 things that I saw in the scripture. Number one, the Bible says that God doesn't take note of our sins anymore, but He forgives us. David writes in Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4, he says, "If you, Lord, should mark my iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?" Think about that. If God would mark our iniquities, our sins, then who could really stand? No one. But we can stand now. Why? Because we've repented of our sins. We can enter into the holiest of holies, which we could not do in the Old Testament. And when we go into the holiest of holies, we can stand there in the presence of God and He can speak to my heart and He can speak to me in such a way that when I leave His presence, I am comforted and I have joy in my life and peace in my life. That's what we should want, every one of us here. In the book again of Psalm 130, verse 3, now verse 4, he says, "But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared, that we may reverence you, God." We want to reverence the name of God. We want to reverence Him every single day, 24/7, and meant throughout the whole year, 12 months, 52 weeks. And then secondly, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, He will forgive them, forgive us our sins. He will forgive our sins. 1 John 1:9, here is John writing as he now gets ready to go to heaven. He's really old. He's in the island of Patmos where God gives him the book of Revelation. And as he's writing, John the Beloved went through, he's the only apostle that never died, but he was sent to the island of Patmos as a prisoner. And here John writing in 1 John 1:9, he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all our righteousness. The word to cleanse means a continual cleansing. A continual cleansing of my life. And then how about thirdly, the Bible says that if we repent, our sins will be totally forgiven and he will heal us. Let me go back to the Old Testament, the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14, a very famous scripture that we use in time of prayer. The day of prayer, they use this. He says here, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves. The first thing, if we're calling upon his name, humility. And then pray. Because once I humble myself in the presence of God, there's an open channel, there's an open communion with God. But if there's pride and there's sin, there's no communion. The phone line has been cut off. Your batteries have run out on your phone. We don't have any longer cords, only a battery to charge our phones. But there's no communion. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, listen, and turn and repent. Notice, repent from their wicked ways. Then I, God, will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. I will forgive you. When God forgives, you never ever have to worry about it because he loves us so much. He loves the world so much that he's not willing that anybody should perish. We need to be strong witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter who we are, no matter where we are, never to be ashamed of Christ. And then if we're not ashamed of Christ, let us live a life that is not stumbling to other people, but holiness in my life. Because they see forgiveness in my life. Too much is given, much more is required. And God requires from us that we love people, that we love one another, that we keep his commandments. Not the Ten Commandments, but one commandment, to love the Lord with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And the reason we don't love God, then we get ourselves in deep trouble. We begin to hate. We begin to be unforgiving to people. And then fifthly, the Bible says that if we forgive others, that he can forgive us. Luke 6:37 says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. What do? We condemn people. And yet, Romans 8:1 says, there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Why should we condemn when we are not condemned any longer? The love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ. And then six, the Bible says that if we sin, we have Jesus as our lawyer to represent us. Isn't that cool? I have a lawyer 24/7. 24/7, you too. In the book of 1 John chapter 2, 1-2, he says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. See, we may not sin. And if anyone sins, because we do sin, we have an advocate, we have a lawyer with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the whole world. God wants to forgive the whole world. That's why he came and died on the cross. The one that has died for each one of us, old or young, I don't care who you are. And he will continue to forgive you because he loves you. God's love was sacrificial. And we have to be loving and kind, and we need to understand that when Moses was asked by God himself to take his son up to Mount Moriah, The love that he had for his son, taking him up to Mount Moriah, laying him down. Moses says, here we are. And his son says this, look at, here is the wood, here is the knife, but where is the sacrifice? Telling his servants down below, we're going to come back here again. He gives the word of what? We're going to come back again. And then all of a sudden, there's no lamb. But it says, God will provide himself a lamb. That's in chapter 22, 8. And 2,000 years later, Jesus Christ comes. And what does he do? He becomes the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Your sin, my sin, because of the love that he has for each one of us. Hebrews 10:17 says, then he adds their sins and their lawless deeds. He says, I will remember no more. No more. Eighth, the Bible says that God removes our sins far away. Far away. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east from the west, so far he will remove our transgressions from each one of us individually. Gone. Complete. We have had, what? Forgiveness from Jesus Christ. And then ninth, the Bible says that God washed not only our sins, but he washed them with his blood. His blood. Remember when he's on top of that cross, and here is the one sinners, one that hates him, and the other one says to him, Lord, remember me today when you come into paradise. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't stop and say, well, you have to be baptized. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. I forgive you. The other one was not forgiven because he was blasphemed against Jesus. And when Jesus died, he said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. Crucifying God himself, the Son of God. The one that from all eternity coming to this world, dying for the world. A world that hates him, a world that rejects him, a world that wants nothing to do with him because we're so selfish and we're such sinners that we have so much hate in our hearts that instead of blessing him, notice we what? We curse him. We disobey him. Revelations 1:5 says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Not in animal blood, in his own blood. He died. When you looked at him on the cross, you couldn't even recognize him. They had beaten him. Put a sack over his face. When you don't have a sack and you can see, you can dodge the, you know, the punch. But to stand there and take every punch solidly, to be mocked, to be spit upon, because he loves us so much, that he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And then in the 10th and final point, the Bible says what? That God forgive our sins in the last hour before you die. Luke 23, 42, 43. And then he said to Jesus, the thief, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, surely I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.
Well, as we've heard today, you can experience Jesus' forgiveness and the hope of eternal life when you humbly repent of your sin. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson was titled, The Person God Uses Forgives. If you'd like to get a complete copy, we'll be happy to send it to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165. To help you better understand the amazing gift of God's grace, we'd like to tell you about a 5-message collection from the Forgiveness series that we're currently airing. It's available on either CD or flash drive. Each lesson illuminates the Lord's unconditional love and points you to his peace. You'll also learn more about how God can give you strength and grace to let go of grudges and hurts from past wrongs.
Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Rawls' 5-lesson study of forgiveness. We'll send you the CD set for $20 or the USB for just $7. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write to Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Download our Somebody Loves You app for live-streamed Bible teaching and digital Bible studies. The Somebody Loves You Worldwide YouTube channel also provides a variety of connections to the Word of God, including podcasts of all previously aired radio programs. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we appreciate your partnership. Your year-end gifts help us keep sharing the wisdom of God's Word. Join us next time for another uplifting message from this forgiveness series, pondering the Lord's work in freeing King David from a heavy burden of guilt. You'll gain confidence to seek a divinely given fresh start for yourself. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.